Welcome. I am so glad that you are here today. My name is Scott. I am the executive pastor at The Crossing. And today it's my delight that I get to speak the message to you. But before we get going with that, let's take a moment. Let's pause. Let's slow down. Let's enter into God's presence with prayer. And then we're going to hear what he has to say through today's message. So please join me. God, thank you so much for your kindness to us, your protection, your compassion. God, we take for granted so often your mercies and your grace, and I pray that as we go through today's message, that you would speak to us, you would remind us of all that you do, and that our thanksgiving would overflow to you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are in our second week of a series. It's called Full Circle. And what we're doing for 5 weeks is we're going through the five pursuits that the Crossing Church has. And if you are part of the Crossing, I hope that you've heard these before. But if not, our five pursuits are to know Jesus, to grow to be more like him, to belong, to serve, and to go. And the reason we have these five pursuits or these five markers is we think that they are attributes of a maturing follower of Jesus. If you can see those five things in your life, then it is pretty rest assured that you are conforming into the image of Jesus. Now, I'm going to spoil the surprise today of the grow message. I am going to give you the key takeaway right up front. Okay, so ready? Here it is. The key takeaway today is that you are a disciple of something. Okay? Whether you realize it or not, there is something in your life that you are what we'd say is a disciple of. A disciple means simply that you are a learner. And one of his great gifts to us is God gave us brains and we can learn and we can do new things and we can incorporate new knowledge. And in our culture, we are constantly immersed in messages that impact the way we think. Whether it's TV shows that you are binging or Instagram reels that you're doom scrolling or Reddit posts that you're reading or podcasts that you've got plugged into your ears or where it is that you turn for the news, everything is shaping or trying to shape how you view the world. And so some of the results are we incorporate, whether intentionally or unintentionally, some of these thinking processes into how we make decisions. We might use what we've seen on TV as a model for how we deal with marital problems, or how we respond to violence, or what we see other people or hear other people doing with what to do with our money, or how we are to behave sexually. Something is shaping your character. Meaning, there is an influence to how you respond in all situations. That's what it means to be a disciple, a learner. And this occurs even as we follow Jesus. We are not immune to the battle for our focus. I'm going to resurrect an old meme that occurred to me. This is what I would call spiritual distraction in a picture. Now, I didn't know that the original form of this meme had a name, like it's a work of art. It's titled Distracted Boyfriend. I've retitled it Spiritual Distraction. And we see us, the man in the blue shirt, and we're walking with Jesus. Now, don't read into theology here or anything like that. And you can see the distraction. The boyfriend is looking at the newest and latest thing to walk by. And I don't know that Jesus would have the same expression on his face. I think Jesus would more have an eye roll, and I can't believe they're doing it again. But we see all around us that our attention gets drawn to messaging about who we are, what makes us valuable, and what fulfillment looks like. And just like the meme that you just saw, we take our eyes off Jesus to look at something else. So I'm going to repeat my key takeaway. You are a disciple of something. The question is, what is it that you're a disciple of? The problem is that when we claim to be in Christ, we are walking, according to Jesus, on the narrow way, the narrow path. We've entered through the narrow gate. And spiritual distractions, looking away, it will cause us to lose our footing. The Bible is so beautifully relevant because people do not change, and the Holy Spirit knows that. And so what we are left speaks to us today, just as it did back when it was written. And we're going to look at one of the letters of Paul. And in case you don't know who Paul is, Paul was somebody that was converted to Christianity early on. He had a dramatic interaction with Jesus, and he went from being somebody who persecuted the church to somebody who went around all of Asia and Western Europe and planted churches and wrote letters and taught. And he wrote to a church that was being pulled off the narrow way. And so we are going to read what he wrote to the Colossian church in chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. These verses are kind of the thesis of the letter that he wrote to the Colossians. And we're going to go kind of breath by breath through this verse and pick up, what does it mean to grow? What does it mean to be a disciple, specifically of Jesus? So here we go, the very beginning of Colossians chapter 2. This is the beginning of verse 6. And it says, And now, just as you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord. Gonna stop there. This reminds us of where we were last week, the first pursuit, which is to know Jesus. Kendall did a very thorough job talking to us about who Jesus is and having us identify where on our spiritual path are we and where do we want to be 6 months in the future. And so the Colossians, we're told, had received the teaching about Jesus. In fact, a disciple, a partner of Paul, had brought it to the Colossian church. And so what Paul starts off doing in this thesis statement is he is affirming their status as members of the body. He is not out to tear them down. He is not out to shame them. He is trying to help them battle what is going on within their church. He's also reminding them of their commitment. And for us, I think this is a great model. It is so important. Human beings are forgetful. And when we come into Jesus, we need constant encouragement and reminders of who we are and who Jesus is, lest we forget and we become like the distracted boyfriend and start looking other places to answer the questions that we have. Now, I just want to say, if you missed last week, you're watching online, so you can pause here and go watch the no passage. But if you missed last week, or if you've never accepted the message of Jesus, or maybe you just forgotten, it's leaked out of your brain and you've forgotten what it meant when you did, Paul states it pretty plainly in another letter that he wrote to the Roman church. This is Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. He says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." You believe what Jesus did, you confess your allegiance to Jesus, and that is where this whole process of spiritual growth starts in your life. Paul declares it's a matter of your heart. Now, if you've heard me speak before, then you know that one of the things I like to bring up is our identity. And in the Bible, the heart is what defines who you are, what is important to you, what gives you worth, the source of your decisions and how you act, the very center of your being. And so what we would call that is our identity. So the heart is the source of who you are. That is your identity. And what Paul is saying is when you commit your heart to Jesus and what he taught, then you are saved. When you place your full identity in Jesus, that's what gets you going. Now, here's another thing we know about our identity. When you place your identity in something, it gives it power. So there is extreme significance in where your identity rests. When you are disconnected from your Creator, as we all are before we come into Jesus, we tend to put our identity in things like relationships, or maybe our job, or the education level we've received, or some accomplishment, or finances, or we could run down a list. As many things as there are in the world are things that we can place our identity in, our source of worth. And as a contributor to our identity, they get power over us. We serve them, and we can never rest. For example, if your identity is in a relationship, then your decisions, the things you do, are going to be to sustain that relationship. You might even sacrifice yourself and your dignity for that relationship to get what you need out of it. And you can never rest. You can never be sure because your identity, your worth, is tied to that very thing. And so part of the confession of Jesus is that he is Lord. You are affirming the supremacy of Jesus and that he is enough to sustain you, that you do not need anything else in your life to give you a sense of identity, to give you your dignity as a human being than Jesus. You willingly surrender that to him. You are able to trust in his goodness because as he walked this earth, as we read the Gospels and learn more about him, he put the goodness of God on display. So with that said, we start with the no, and now we're going to continue Paul's words, and he's going to get into today's pursuit, the idea of growth. So he says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, the next bit of Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 is, you must continue to follow him. This is the statement of our second pursuit. He starts off this phrase by saying, just as you accepted Christ. Remember, these pursuits that we have, these five pursuits, they're not mutually exclusive. There is significant overlap in all five of these areas. So we are to continue to follow him. Literally, what continuing to follow him translated is walk in him. It is active. There is an action here. We are to walk in relationship with Jesus. And so what this brings out, and this is a great reminder for all of us, is that salvation is not just a moment. It is a movement. The day that you believe and you confess Jesus is Lord, that's not where everything ends. That's just where everything gets started. So walking in him, this denotes that there is a progression as we follow Jesus along the way. Walking in him implies that there is a direction. We're not aimless as we follow Jesus. Walking in him demands consistency. It becomes a habit. We don't think about walking, right, when we do it, when we know where we're going. And in the same way, as we grow as followers of Jesus, our walking in him becomes habitual, becomes second nature and natural to us. That is the beginning of the picture of growth that Paul gives us. We place one foot in front of the other to become more and more like Jesus. Jesus is our source of life. And so all of these ideas about walking in him can be summarized like this, that growing takes intention. It takes our active nature to be part of this growing process. There will be obstacles. There's going to be times that you don't feel like it. There's going to be opportunities for distraction, but there are multitudes of those. But growing requires putting Jesus above other things and having a commitment to that mindset. So some questions for reflection is how do we walk in him? How do we remind ourselves of what our identity is so that we don't become distracted by the next greatest thing? Well, this answer is pretty simple. And this is something I am sure that you have heard before if you've been in church any length of time. How do we walk in him? Remember, there's three big things: prayer, Bible intake, and belonging, right? That's not the sexiest answer to the question, and I bet you never thought you'd hear the word sexy in a message before. And I think that's maybe where we get hung up in this process. Right, I think we want something great and big and outstanding and noticeable that is going to lead to our growth. And when we hear that it's prayer and Bible intake and belonging, it kind of almost feels like a letdown. It reminds me of a story in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, we have this man named Naaman. And he has leprosy, and he wants to be healed of leprosy. So he goes to the prophet Elijah, and he wants to be healed. Well, instead of meeting with him, Elijah sends a servant out and tells him, go wash in the Jordan River. You will be healed of your leprosy. And instead of rejoicing, this makes Naaman so mad. He turns to the men with him, and he says, why didn't Elijah come out with me? Why didn't he tell me to go bathe in a bigger and better river than the Jordan River? Why didn't he come out and wave his hands around and just heal me right here? And he was about to walk away mad without being healed when one of his servants said to him, would you have been happier if Elijah had asked you to do something difficult? Wouldn't you have done that? And Naaman reflects and said, yeah, so instead he goes and does the easy thing of walking or washing in the Jordan. And I think that picture of Naaman wanting something really difficult to do to be healed is how we feel about what might feel mundane, about prayer and reading and studying the Bible and seeking out the community of other believers. But those things are the key to our spiritual growth. That's how we engage with God. We pray so that we develop our relationship with God. We learn to hear his voice. We interact with the Bible, whether it's by reading or studying or memorizing, so that we know who God is. We know his story of how he is related to humanity. And we see the picture of what life in him is like when we see the life of Jesus. Belonging. Now, there's going to be more on this next week, but just real quick, we belong because we don't follow Jesus alone. We're part of a body. And it's necessary for us because we are forgetful. We need other people that can be people who can build us up and so we can encourage each other, so we can bear each other's burdens, so we can walk together as we follow Jesus. So these three things, they shape our worldview and they develop our identity. So a big question for you to think about this week as you turn off this message and maybe you think about it, maybe you journal, pray about it, is what are you allowing to shape you? Maybe there's some things that you are letting give input into your life that you need to avoid. Maybe there's some sort of media that just has too much say in how you think about the world and yourself and other people. What things outside of Jesus do you allow to contribute to your identity? See, Jesus is sufficient, but we hold tight to a lot of things and we let go of them very reluctantly. But Jesus wants our whole heart as part of this deal. So the next part of Colossians chapter 2, this is the beginning of verse 7. And so verse 7, so Paul has talked about, he's introduced this grow. He says, walk in him, continue in him. And so in 2 verse 7, he says, let your roots grow down into him. So it starts off with the action, our part. We are to walk in him. We are to be engaged with God. We are to be open to what he is going to do in our life. But notice in this verse, it doesn't say, go ahead now and grow your roots. Like it's something that we do and we have control over. What Paul says is, let your roots grow down. Says this in a passive voice. And what this communicates to us is that there is divine action involved in growth. That the growth happens not because we will it or we force it to happen. Here's a picture of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is verses 6 and 7. And this is Paul writing. So I, Paul, planted the seed in your hearts. And Apollos watered it. Okay, so Paul planted the seed. He spread the word. He proclaimed the gospel message of Jesus. Apollos came along. He did the same thing and reinforced it. But here's the key. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is God makes the seed grow. That's true in our lives as well. We can't make ourselves grow to be more like Jesus. It is God that makes things grow. It's God that takes the seed of our prayers and our interaction with the Bible and our belonging as part of the body, and he turns it into growth. So as we persistently and intentionally engage, God makes the growth happen. Paul says that we are to let our root grow deeper, and that's indicative of the depth of our relationship. Roots let Jesus' life flow up into us and provides nourishment and perseverance for our identity. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul reiterates the same sort of theme. He says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So as we trust Jesus, Christ becomes a fuller and fuller expression in our identity, in our heart. And then God is able to grow our roots down so that we are strong as we walk in him. Paul is talking about his trials when he's writing to the Ephesians. He's also talking about the Ephesians and their own trials. And he's giving them this hope that if you do this, it will keep you strong. You'll be able to stand up under these trials. Here's another image of this. This is Old Testament. This is Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah writes, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence, meaning they've made the Lord their identity, their all, the source of their being. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. To me, this is just a beautiful picture of what I want my life walking in Jesus to look like. There are deep roots, meaning that in my life, I'm not bothered by heat, the trials or the tribulations or the troubles. I'm not worried about circumstances because my root in Jesus goes deep. In fact, the tree rooted deeply in God stands firm, and regardless of the fact that there's a drought, it still is green and produces fruit. It's filled with life. It's filled with change. And this is the picture of the life of the follower of Jesus. that is more and more fully rooted in Christ. So, another question for you to think about as we step through this Colossians chapter 2 verse is, what is the result of the nourishment of your identity? Do you bear fruit regardless of the circumstance? Are you able to stand firm even if there are trials or troubles or conflicts in your life? Or do you see anxiety and worry and insecurity popping forth because maybe part of your root is in something apart from God? How is your life similar or different from the tree in Jeremiah? I spent a lot of time thinking and praying about that this week as I was doing this message. Continuing the Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. This is the middle part of it if you're reading along in your Bibles. It says, and let your lives be built on him. So Paul is really mixing his metaphors here. He started out with let your roots grow deep. And then he says, let your lives be built on him. Jesus also used this image of our lives being built on something. This is his words in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. It stands firm no matter what. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. The point Paul is making with both the root metaphor and the foundation metaphor is this. When our faith is challenged, we are built upon or we are rooted in something that won't shift or erode. The ground won't be pulled out from underneath us. Nothing will change for us and our hope and our future and our purpose because our roots run deep and our foundation is solid. And what that means is that when we grow, God produces stability. Our identity is not tossed about by different whims. Our worldview will remain to be true, and our lives cannot be taken out of God's hands. So, as we continue on, how will we know if we're growing, right? We all want to know this. We want to know if we're doing the right things, if we're engaging God enough. Well, Paul gives the answer to that question to finish out verse 7. He says this, after you have let your root grow deep, after you have been built on him, he says, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. The more we grow, the more aware we become of God's hand in our life. And we become thankful for his activity where we can see him part of what we're doing, where we'd be thankful for his provision, the wisdom that he gives us. Our response to things is less and less tied to what we have or don't have or our accomplishments or whether we do things perfectly or if we get external affirmation. No, our response will be the product of not looking for security or affirmation in other things and having our eyes and our minds and our hearts set on the things of God. So, what Paul is saying is that thankfulness is a barometer of our growth in Christ. Here's something that you can meditate on. What keeps you from being thankful? As you're thinking about your response to things, as you're thinking about what goes on in your head, what do you think keeps you from being thankful? That will likely give you insight into areas where you have a misplaced identity. Where are you envious or jealous or discontent? Those would be areas for you to uproot and allow God's roots to grow deep into that area. Another litmus test that Paul gives beyond being thankful is this. This is the last verse that we're going to look at. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. And he says, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ." Now, we don't get it in the English translation right here, but this verse starts out with some urgency. There is a force to the words that we translate, "don't let anyone." That doesn't really sound forceful. It's more like Paul saying, "watch out, be on the lookout." He is given a warning, a command to vigilance. This is a reminder that our faith, even though God makes things grow, even though God is responsible for us being built up on the foundation, our faith is not passive. We're to actively keep watch over what enters our heart and mind. So, what is trying to catch your gaze of discipleship? When we grow, God's action in our lives will produce discernment. The thesis for today was that we are all disciples of something. And Paul is well aware of this. He says, don't let someone capture you. Literally, it says, don't let someone carry you away. There's a battle here. Empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. Now, the definition of philosophy is it's a system of motivating beliefs and concepts and principles. Thank you, Merriam-Webster, for that definition right there. What motivates our beliefs and concepts and principles? It's a worldview. And Paul is not saying not to have a worldview. In fact, he's saying quite the opposite. He's saying that ours is to be a worldview that is shaped by our walk with Jesus. High-sounding nonsense promises freedom and fulfillment, but it ultimately can't deliver anything. It has the appearance of truth or wisdom, but it is disguised human rationalizations. Empty philosophies are anything that draws us away from Christ or denies or lessens the truth of who Christ is and his role in the world, or offers identity outside of Jesus. That is an empty philosophy. In fact, every ism that you can probably think of is an empty philosophy. It's just going to leave you empty. It's not going to fill you up. Growing in Christ means being able to more easily ferret out hollow and deceptive systems of thought. Anything that is contrary to the gospel of Jesus. Growing means not falling prey to the world's efforts to undermine your faith, because it's happening all around us. Growing means to be aware of the spiritual battle that you're engaged in and not becoming a casualty, not being carried away. You are a disciple of something. The question is what? So what are your next steps? As you're sitting there on your couch and you're watching the timer bar and you know you got just about 90 seconds left, what are the next steps to take away from this? Well, the first thing I would ask you is, do you know Jesus? That is the first and most important question to answer. And as we said before, have you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord? The second thing is, have you asked yourself the question, what is nourishing your root? It might be time just to start with regular Bible reading. That is a nice, simple place to start. If you read the Bible for 9 minutes a day, set a timer. The person with the average reading ability, if you read for 9 minutes a day, you'll finish the whole Bible in less than a year. I do 10 minutes because I am a go-getter, but that's what I do every morning, is 10 minutes of Bible reading to get things started. And the last thing, the last question that I'll leave you with is, how intentional are you in continuing to follow Jesus? Are you continuing to walk in him? Thanks for joining me online this morning. And before we go, if you just join me in prayer. God, thank you so much for Paul's words about what it means to grow, what it looks like, what our part in growing is, and what your part in growing is, which is pretty much most of it. God, we thank you so much that you have taken responsibility for who we are in Jesus, into conforming us into his image, and into carrying us into his kingdom. Thank you for all the blessings that we get through this, and we love you so much in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys.